Like the office they commemorate, presidential libraries are living institutions. Certainly, it is my hope that the Reagan Library will become a dynamic intellectual forum where scholars interpret the past and policymakers debate the future.
Welcome to a Reagan Forum, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The Center for Public Affairs offers lectures and forums presenting perspectives on important public policy issues of the day, from politicians, authors, members of the media, business and military leaders, and more. President Reagan loved his birthday. He always joked it was an anniversary of his 39th birthday. This past February 6th would have marked the 70th anniversary of his 39th birthday. Since President Reagan's passing on June 5th, 2004, the Reagan Foundation has worked with United States Marine Corps Camp Pendleton to hold a birthday celebration on February 6th of each year to honor the life and legacy of our nation's 40th president. Each year, the program includes live musical entertainment from the 1st Marine Division Band, an honor guard, a rifle guard, and the official laying of the White House presidential wreath on President Reagan's gravesite. Keynote speakers in prior years have included Elizabeth Dole, James Baker, and Sam Donaldson. In this week's A Reagan Forum podcast, we listen in to the ceremony held on February 6, 2020, with keynote speaker Drew Dix. Drew is the current president of the Congressional Medal of Honor Society and a Medal of Honor recipient from the Vietnam War. Let's listen.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We sit here today on Ronald Reagan's birthday to reflect upon his life and legacy and to thank him for his time serving and protecting our precious nation. A special thank you to all the men and women here today from Camp Pendleton who have helped us so much with today's celebration. This is the Reagan Library's 16th year working in conjunction with Camp Pendleton to pay tribute to President Reagan on his birthday. We are honored to have the support of our fighting men and women from such a vital military installation. On behalf of everyone here, and I am sure all Americans, thank you as well for your service. Please rise for the March on the Colors, the playing of our national anthem, and the invocation by Chaplain Kevin Sweeney of the United States Navy.
Sound attention! March! Honor Guard! Attention! March on the colors!
Thank you. us pray. Eternal Father, this morning as we gather to remember and honor our nation's 40th president, Ronald Reagan, on the anniversary of his birth, we ask your blessing. Lord, we are thankful that we live in a country where we can put down money for a new car and not have to come back 10 years later on the same day to pick it up, but only after we deconflict it with the plumber who's coming in the morning. We are very blessed. Lord God, we recognize today more than ever and are grateful for the life and legacy of President Reagan. President Reagan's sincere love for America and her citizens inspired him to become involved, seeking to give back and enabling him to grow into the wise and gifted leader history knows him to be. Great leaders recognize that every person must have liberty to flourish in life and in society so that they may develop their God-given talents. We are grateful, Lord, that President Reagan was a dedicated leader who was unapologetic in his support of the values of our democracy. In recognizing that among the many nations on earth, America has been blessed and therefore has a greater responsibility to be thankful to you, Lord, President Reagan challenged us as a nation never to take our blessings for granted. That we as a nation have a responsibility to be a shining example for the world. In his first inaugural address, President Reagan challenged all Americans to be a beacon of hope for those who do not know have freedom. Lord, we ask you for the grace and courage that we need to be that beacon of hope for others. With love in our hearts for President Reagan, we ask your blessing, Lord, on our great nation and on the values we hold dear and on all who serve and defend our freedoms, especially any who may be in harm's way. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Commanding General of Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, Brigadier General Daniel Connolly.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dan Connolly. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here with you this morning. I have been excited about this day since I was first told we're invited to come up here. So for the staff and the team that's here, thank you very much. This is a phenomenal day at an amazing place. On the way up here, my beautiful bride asked me if I knew what I was going to talk about, and then was quick to tell me after that, you can be funny or you can be brief, and you're not funny, so you probably ought to be brief. So when the boss talks, you listen. I do want to thank Mr. Dix, who you'll hear from in a little bit, and the Medal of Honor Society and the Medal of Honor wearers here this morning. We had the opportunity to have dinner with them last night. If you want to talk about rubbing shoulders with giants, if you want to talk about dedication and service and what those words truly mean in the human embodiment, it is that group of very distinguished gentlemen and their families. And I might add that it is not the service, just the service, for which they were awarded that medal, but it's the service that continues today in their outreach for veterans, for the young, for everyone that's around. This group is much more, much, much more than just the blue ribbon, as impressive as that may be. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the Marines that you see here today carry on the legacy that these fine men and women built. They represent the best that comes out of Camp Pendleton, the 1st Marine Division, the Marine Corps Air Station. They represent commands from across Camp Pendleton. And I will tell you, they are young, they are fit, they are dedicated. They are the best that this country has to offer. And because of them, I know that our Marine Corps is in very good hands. And I know because of their brothers and sisters and the Army and the Air Force and the Navy that our nation is in very good shape. I am proud to be here.
More from a Reagan Forum featuring President Reagan's 2020 birthday celebration after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit ReaganFoundation.org/give. That's ReaganFoundation.org/give.
Now back to a Reagan Forum featuring President Reagan's 2020 birthday celebration.
I'm proud to be here because Marines are students of history. You walk the halls of this building, you talk to the men and their families here, you know what history is about. In the Marine Corps, we do it. We remember our battles. We remember the heroes and the leaders of those battles. And we remember because it's a way to pass our lineage from those who have gone before us to those who serve today. President Reagan understood that. President Reagan understood what service and dedication and sacrifice was. And because of that, he remains a hero to the Marine Corps and to the military to this day. As John pointed out, I'm the commanding general of Marine Corps Installations West. What that means is I'm responsible for the 7 bases in California and 1 in Arizona. And our primary mission is to train your Marine Corps, your Marines, to deploy and go wherever our president or our Congress should direct. Sometimes that's into war and sometimes that's into peace. But mostly we train so that we can be the most ready when the nation is least ready. We can be the 911 force that President Reagan talked about. I remember in a long time ago, October of 83, on a rainy morning, I watched on TV as President and Mrs. Reagan debarked Marine One, and on their way into the White House, President Reagan stopped. And he turned to the cameras and he memorized, or he remembered the 220 Marines and the 21 other service members that were killed in the Beirut bombings. And in that brief, short moment, he recognized their sacrifice and he comforted the families and the friends that they had left behind. Not long after that, he was remarked to have said, "Some people live their entire lives wondering if they've made a difference in the world. The Marines don't have that problem." And while we can thump our chest about that, and while it gave great support to our Marines to know that their commander-in-chief was behind them after such an horrific act, what it really was a call to Marines, or really it's a call to all of us, to live up to that ideal. I had the great honor and the great privilege of coming into a Marine Corps that was stronger, it was better organized, it was better equipped because of Mr. Reagan's peace through strength philosophy. And it was because of that, less than 2 years after he had left office, that we were able to scream across the deserts of Kuwait and liberate that city in under 100 hours. In the intervening time since he has left the office, and as I've gotten older in my career with less hair and more gray, what I've come to find and appreciate more is the strength and the dedication and the patriotism of Ronald Reagan, really just the common decency of a man that held this country to what it should be. So on behalf of your Marines here and your 186,000 Marines from around the world, we say thank you, Mr. President, for your service and happy birthday. Semper Fidelis.
Thank you so much, General. An absolute honor to have you here with us today. Here at the Reagan Library, we are dedicated to the preservation and promotion of Ronald Reagan's legacy of inspired freedom. Nothing meant more to him than the men and women of our nation's armed forces who protect that freedom. His admiration for those who wear the uniform began long before he entered the White House in 1981. During his years in office as California's governor, the Vietnam War reached its peak. A year into Governor Reagan's first term, a staff sergeant by the name of Drew Dix was making a name for himself as well. Early in that year, February 1st, 1968 to be exact, Sergeant Dix was on the battlefield in Chow Dock, Vietnam, where he risked his life above and beyond the call of duty. During a heavily armed Viet Cong attack, he braved enemy fire and heavy mortar shelling over and over again to free 14 trapped civilians and nurses, all facing certain death. Through his leadership, when it was all over, 20 prisoners were captured, including a high-ranking Viet Cong official, and at least 14 of the enemy lay dead. Almost 1 year later, on January 16, 1969, Sergeant Dix was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his actions, the highest award for valor in action against an enemy force bestowed upon an individual serving in the United States Armed Forces. Sergeant Dix was the first enlisted Special Forces soldier to ever receive the medal. Today, Drew Dix serves as the president of the Congressional Medal of Honor Society, and we could not be more honored to have him here with us. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming to the Reagan Library an American hero, Drew Dix.
Thank you. Is it on? It's on. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I appreciate the remarks, but, you know, it's never really, we don't really feel good about it reading all of that because when, and hearing about all that, because we know as Medal of Honor recipients that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those others that gave their lives for us. And many of those, we don't know who they were on the battlefield and what they did because they just simply were not witnessed, and our actions were. And as the president of the Medal of Honor Society, it's probably a greater honor than receiving the medal because I get to be represent and speak for the other 70 or the 70 other recipients that currently wear the Medal of Honor. If you think about that, our number is shrinking. It's shrinking very rapidly, and maybe that's a good thing because when you award a medals of honor, it's times are tough, and people are dying, and it's in bad situations, and we hope that the strength of this country keeps us from getting into situations like that. But before I start, somebody yesterday said, I wonder why President Reagan picked this place. What do you think? Well, you know, President Reagan was, we've heard so much about him, and he's one of my my heroes, as many of the Medal of Honor recipients that have had the pleasure of meeting President Reagan. And I can remember in New York one time when he was up there and we were having a dinner of some kind, and at that time there was hundreds of recipients, several hundred buddies shaking his head. I think we had close to 225 or 50 or something like that recipients. Now we're 71. But we were in his dinner and all of a sudden some commotion was happening and we didn't know what was, there was a lockdown, and in walks President Reagan. And I've never forgotten how the sincerity of his words. He certainly honored the Medal of Honor and respected it, but he did it in a way that we like to hear, that it what it represents. It represents sacrifices and the willingness to sacrifice for others. That's the key of what it's all about. This event today, this celebration of Ronald Reagan's birthday, is not about the Medal of Honor, but what is important that I want to remind people is that he loved the military and believed in peace through strength. But think about it. Any nation can't be entrusted with that, to be strong, to use the strength for peace. There are others out there that with the strength that would do it for other reasons. But so having strength through the military has to be backed up by a solid citizenry. And that's what we have. And we have that because of examples of those before us, like President Reagan. You know, I heard President Reagan, I was one of those that had the very good fortune of shaking his hand. And I don't remember exactly what the occasion was, but he said, awarding the Medal of Honor was the greatest honor that he had and the highest duty as a president. Now, he awarded 3 Medals of Honor. I knew 2 of those, Roy Benavides, who was awarded the Medal of Honor a little bit late because of his action was very classified in where he received it, earned it. And 2 was Bill Crawford, who was also from my hometown with 2 other recipients, 4 of us from Pueblo, Colorado. And the 3rd one was to only known to God, was he presented it to the Tomb of the Unknown. And I want to tell you that that was the most moving words that I've ever heard. And my recipients that were there with me, I know it brought us literally to tears. The sincerity of what he said and that he meant it. A lot of, you know, integrity is not words. Integrity is the action. In this case, his words transformed into action. And we, as mentioned before, the Medal of Honor Society, the recipients received some notoriety years before, but it's what we do now that is so important. And we've had 5 events here, 1 last night, that makes 6 events here. And when you have an event under Air Force One, how can you go wrong? You know, you get the message across, you feel good, you get re-blued about why we're doing stuff. And you know, now, I got re-blued last night, and it's appropriate that we're out here sending the message. And I want to thank President Reagan for setting that standard through his words, but also through what he left here in his legacy of this wonderful place and the message that it continues to show to those that walk through here, including the Medal of Honor recipients. So I also was told that brief remarks are more important because no one ever says, I wish he would have talked longer, especially in the hot sun. But I want to tell you that the old command sergeant major that gave me my first bit of advice when I was told I was going to receive the Medal of Honor, he said, Drew, just speak from the heart and keep it short and you'll never go wrong. But I want to tell you, it's distinctly a distinct honor for me to be here to represent those Medal of Honor recipients, those great friends, family of mine, to be here and be a part of this wonderful celebration for a great person that has done so much for this country and continues to do through his legacy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Drew. Just terrific. Just terrific. Thanks so much, Drew. Please rise for the laying of the wreath and honors to President Reagan. The President of the United States has directed that a presidential wreath be laid at the resting place of all former presidents on the anniversary of their birth. Brigadier General Daniel Connally, Commanding General of Camp Pendleton, California, is designated to place a wreath at the tomb of the 40th President of the United States, Ronald Wilson Reagan, on 6 February 2020, in honor of the 109th anniversary of his birth and in tribute to his distinguished service to a grateful nation. Please remain standing for the retiring of the colors and the conclusion of the ceremony with Anchors Away and the Marine Corps hymn. Thank you. This concludes our ceremony this morning. Thank you all so much for coming.
As I said earlier, at the Reagan Library each year, February 6th is a celebration of President Reagan's life and legacy. He was a lifeguard hero, a student body president, a radio announcer, a movie star, a television host and corporate ambassador, the governor of California, and the president of the United States. His journey was uniquely American and uniquely his, resulting in him becoming one of the most influential and beloved presidents in modern history. We honor him not just on February 6th, but every day, and we encourage you to visit us at the Reagan Library to honor him too. Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Until next week, thanks for listening. God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to A Reagan Forum podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of A Reagan Forum come out every Thursday. Like what you hear? Check out our Words to Live By podcast featuring radio addresses and speeches Ronald Reagan delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.